We continue Bezrat Hashem in our limud of Masechet Ketubot. We are up to Daf Lamed Daled Amud Aleph. We are on the last word of the fifth line from the top. Savala Kerabi Yochanan Hasandelal. This limud is Leilui Nishmat Shelomo ben Simcha, Baruch ben Shelomo, Shelomo ben Reuven, Erez ben Miriam, Shaul ben Latife, Yom Tov ben Chana, Naim ben Chatun, סוליקה בת חנה, לדיסיה בת יעקות, את הרבקה בת מרדכי, אסתר בת לדיסיה, רבקה בת דבורה, אבא שלומית בת אילנה אסתר, חיה אסתר חווה בת שרה, לובה בת מזל, עליהם השלום, אורסו לזכות רפואה שלמה, פרעלי שבע בת נטע, גבריאל מסודה בת שרה, אין חנה בת סוליקה. Just a little background, back to get back into our sugya here. We are dealing with a braita that we learned on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Bet, where we have a machloket Rabbi Meir and Chachamim regarding ganav v'tavach b'shabbat. If a person stole an ox or a sheep and he slaughtered it on Shabbat. So normally when a person steals a shor or a seh and he slaughters it, he has to pay dalet vehe, four or five times the worth. But here, in this case, he did it on Shabbat. So Rabbi Meir says he's chayav to pay, because Rabbi Meir, as the Gemara wanted to prove before, holds that even when you have a chiyuv of mita, such as chilul Shabbat, there is still a chiyuv of tashlumin, and Chachamim say he's patur from paying. But then the Gemara explained it eventually that we're talking about toveach al yedei acher, that he did it through someone else. This person did not do chilul Shabbat, the one who stole it. He asked someone else to slaughter it. So therefore, that's why Rabbi Meir says that he pays the tashlumim of Daled Vehe, because there is no Chilul Shabbat on the part of the Ganav. He was Toveach al Yedei Acher. He asked someone else to do this, the Shechita. So the Gemara on the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amud Bet asked, if that's the case, then what's the reason of Rabbanan? Why do Chachamim say that he is patur from paying? Why is he patur from paying? I mean, he stole it. So why would he be patur from paying arba'a v'chamisha? After all, there is no chilul Shabbat on his part, so there's no chiyuv mita. So the Gemara said, Chachamim go like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds that shchita she'ena re'uya lo shma shchita. That when the shchita does not make the meat of the animal permissible to be eaten, then it's not called a shchita. And therefore, since it's not called a shchita, he doesn't have to pay dalet vehe, because he wasn't tavach. Because even though they slaughtered it, but it's not considered slaughtering, since you're not allowed to eat the meat. Why are you not allowed to eat the meat? Just because he slaughtered it on Shabbat? So here's what the Gemara says, Savar la kerabi Yochanan Sandelar. Because the Tana of the Braita holds, like Rabbi Yochanan Sandelar, who said that any time Chilul Shabbat was involved in the preparation of food, such as in this case the Shechita was done on Shabbat, you're not allowed to eat it. If you're not allowed to eat it, that's called Shechita She'ena Re'uya, and therefore it's not considered like he did Shechita, like Le'inyan, regarding the payment of Dalet Vehe. That's why Chachamim say that he's patur from paying Dalet Vehe. And now the Gemara is going to discuss the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Sandela. Detanya, as we learned in Ebraita, Hamivashel b'Shabbat, one who cooks food on Shabbat, Chas v'Shalom. So now it depends. B'Shogeg, if he cooked it b'Shogeg, Yochal, meaning if he did it unintentionally, he didn't know that today is Shabbat, or he didn't know that you're not allowed to cook on Shabbat, Yochal, he's allowed to eat the meat, he's allowed to eat the food that he cooked, even he himself is allowed to eat it, even on the day of Shabbat. Bemezid lo yochal. But if he cooked it intentionally, he knew that it's Shabbat, he knew that you're not allowed to, lo yochal. He is never allowed to eat from that food. Other people may be allowed, but he is not allowed. We make a knas, there's a penalty on him. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says differently. Beshogeg, if he cooked Beshogeg unintentionally, Yochal leMotzae Shabbat. He's allowed to eat it, but only on Motzae Shabbat. after you wait the amount of time that's called b'chdei she'yasu, the amount of time that it takes to cook the food. Let's say it takes 45 minutes to cook the food. So 45 minutes after the end of Shabbat, he will be allowed to eat it. Bemezid lo yochal olamit. But if he did it, if he cooked it intentionally, then he's never allowed to eat from that food. And other people also, on Shabbat, they are not allowed to eat from that food, but Motzai Shabbat, after Kedesh Yasu, they are allowed. So those are the two opinions of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Here's a third opinion, the Braita says, Rabbi Yochanan Asandelar Omer, Beshogeg Ye'achel LeMotzai Shabbat LaAcherim VeLo Lo. Beshogeg, if he cooked it unintentionally, the food can be eaten on Motzai Shabbat by other people, not on Shabbat itself, but on Motzai Shabbat. VeLo Lo, but he cannot eat it even on Motzai Shabbat, because there is a knas even on the shogeg. Bemezid lo ye'achel olamit lo lo velo le'acherim. If it was cooked bemezid intentionally, then it can never be eaten, not by him and not even by other people. So what do we see from Rabbi Yochanan Sandelar? That something that was cooked or prepared or whatever it may be on Shabbat in a way of isur that is not allowed, such as the case that we are speaking about where he did shechita on Shabbat, it becomes forbidden to be eaten. So Chachamim and our Braita go like Rabbi Yochanan Sandelar, and that's why, since it's not able to be eaten through this shechita, it's not called shechita, based on the words of Rabbi Shimon, that shechita she'ena re'uya is not called shechita. That's why there's no payment of dalet vehe, there's no payment of 4 or 5. Now the Gemara asks, "Mai ta'ama de Rabbi Yochanan Sandelar? What's the reason of Rabbi Yochanan Sandelar who says that anything that was cooked on Shabbat cannot be enjoyed, cannot be eaten at all? It's called Maase Shabbat. It's called the Isur of Maase Shabbat, the prohibition of deriving any benefit from something that was done on Shabbat in a way of Isur. What's the reason from this? Where do we learn this from?" Answers the Gemara, "Kededarish Rabbi Chia apitcha de benesia," as Rabbi Chia spoke or expounded upon at the entrance of the house of the Nasi. He gave the following explanation to the pasuk in Parashat Kitisa. It says, "Ushmartem et haShabbat ki kodesh hi lachem." You should guard the Shabbat because Shabbat is holy to you. So it says, "Ki kodesh hi lachem." Shabbat is called kodesh. It's called holy. Ma kodesh asur be'achila, af ma'ase Shabbat asurim be'achila. So we learn there is a hekesh between kodesh and Shabbat. Kodesh means hekdesh, anything that is consecrated to the Beit HaMikdash. Obviously, anything that is mukdash, that is consecrated to the Beit HaMikdash as a korban, cannot be eaten by any other person once it is made kodesh. So too, ma'ase Shabbat, anything that is done on Shabbat, has the din of kodesh, which makes it asur b'achila, it's forbidden to be eaten. Rabbi Chia continues to clarify, "I ma kodesh asur behana'a, af ma'ase Shabbat asur behana'a." Maybe you'll also make the comparison that just like kodesh is forbidden to derive any benefit from it, so maybe you'll say ma'ase Shabbat, something that was cooked on Shabbat, also is asur behana'a, is forbidden to derive any benefit from it. Talmud lomar lachem. So what do we learn in the pasuk in Shabbat? It says, "Ki kodesh hi lachem." It is kodesh unto you, which teaches us that ma'ase Shabbat shelachem yehe. It does still belong to you. You can still have hana'a from it. Continues the Gemara and asks, "Yachol afilu b'shogeg?" Based on the fact that we are comparing the desecration of Shabbat to kodesh, maybe even b'shogeg, even if the act was performed in a way of without intention, it should still be prohibited to eat whatever was cooked up. Talmud lomar, what does it say after that? Mechaleleha mot yumat. He who desecrates the Shabbat should be put to death. Bemezid amarti lecha velo b'shogeg. Which means it's indicating that it's only with regard to someone who desecrated the Shabbat intentionally is that I told you this analogy, this comparison between Kodesh and Shabbat. Because Mechalelei HaMot Yumat, the death penalty of Chilul Shabbat is only Mezid. So when it says Ki Kodesh Ilachem, that it's compared to Kodesh, and therefore you can't eat it, that's only if it was done B'Mezid. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan Hasan Delar said, B'Shogeg, you can eat it on Motzei Shabbat. B'Mezid, then it's like Kodesh. Lo ye'achel olamit, it can never be eaten, not by him and not by other people. So now the Gemara will bring a machloket regarding the understanding of the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan Hasan Delar. Pligi bar Rav Acha v'Ravina. Rav Acha v'Ravina argue in regards to the din of Maase Shabbat in the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Hasan Delar. Chad amar Maase Shabbat de'oraita, chad amar de'rabanan. It's a machloke between Rav Acha v'Ravina. This that Rabbi Yochanan Hasan Delar says you're not allowed to eat Maase Shabbat. Again, Maase Shabbat means that which was cooked on Shabbat b'mezid. This that you're not allowed to eat it, is it de'oraita or is it only a din mid'rabanan? So one says it's a sumi de'oraita. One says it's only asumi derabanan. So the Gemara explains, man de'amar de'oraita, the one who says that it is de'oraita k'de'amaran. His source is from, we just learned it from a pasuk, from the pasuk of ki kodesh ilachem. So since we learn it from a pasuk, it's mi de'oraita. Man de'amar derabanan, but the one who says that it's only mi derabanan, it's because he learns the pasuk differently. Amar kra, what does it say in that pasuk? Kodesh hi lachem. It is Kodesh. Hi Kodesh. The Shabbat itself is Kodesh. V'en ma'aseh ha-Kodesh. Meaning the day of Shabbat is Kodesh, is holy. But ma'aseh ha, but that which you cooked on Shabbat, that's called ma'aseh Shabbat, is not Kodesh. Meaning, it's mid'oraita, you are allowed to eat it. It's only a gezerah from Chachamim, it's a din from the Rabbanan, that you're not allowed to eat ma'aseh Shabbat. So now the question is, back to our sugya. Remember we said that the Chachamim in the Braita of the one who was Ganav v'tavach b'Shabbat, Chachamim who said that he's patur from paying Dalet v'hei, he's patur from paying the payments of four or five for slaughtering that the sheep which he stole, we said that it's because it's a shchita she'ena re'uya. It's because it's a shchita that you're not allowed to eat. And a shchita that you're not allowed to eat is not called a shchita, so it doesn't have the payments of ganav et tavach. Uleman de'amar de'rabanan, but now according to the opinion that says that no, it's only mid'rabanan that you're not allowed to eat it. But mid'oraita, you are allowed to eat it. That means mid'oraita, it is a shchita hare'uya. It's a shchita that you are allowed. So you should be liable to pay the four and five. So that's what the Gemara is asking. Uleman de'amar de'rabanan, according to the opinion that we just mentioned, that Maaseh Shabbat is only asumi de'rabanan, ma'ita ma'i de'rabanan de'patri. So now we're back to the question, why did Chachamim say you're patur from paying arba'a v'chamisha? B'mid'oraita, if he slaughtered on Shabbat, it is shchita re'uya. It's only mid'rabanan that you're not allowed to eat it. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ki ka'patri rabanan ash'ara. This that Chachamim say, patur from paying, arba'a v'chamisha, is on the other two examples of the Braita. Remember, we had in the Braita three examples. Ganav v'tavach b'Shabbat, but then we had ganav v'tavach le'avodat kochavim, and ganav shor haniskal. If he stole and he slaughtered it for avodah zarah, or if he stole a shor haniskal and he slaughtered it. So Rabbi Meir said, chayav to pay, and Chachamim said, patur. So the Gemara is saying, according to this opinion, when Chachamim said patur, it's only patur on those other two cases. The case of ganav etavach le'avodat kochavim and ganav shor haniskal utvacho. But the first case of ganav etavach b'Shabbat, you're right. Even according to Chachamim, they will agree with Rabbi Meir that he has to pay the dalet vehe. Because it is a shchita hare'uya, you are allowed to eat it, and therefore it's a valid shchita, and therefore you would have to pay the arba'a v'chamisha. This that they say patur is only on the two cases out of the three that the Braita mentioned. Now the Gemara goes back to ask on Rabbi Meir. Toveach le'avodat zara, toveach le'avodat kochavim. In the case where the person stole the sheep from someone, and he slaughtered it for the purpose of avodah zarah. So why did Rabbi Meir say that he has to pay Dalet Vehe, that he has to pay the Tashlumim, the payment of 4 and 5? Kivan de Shachat Beputa, but from the moment that the person slaughtered the animal a little bit, which means at the very beginning of the act of the Shechita, it's already prohibited for him to derive any benefit from the animal, because this animal now has been slaughtered for Avodah Zarah. So already from the first little bit of the act of Shechita, it becomes Asur, even to the owner of the sheep. Idach ki katavach. So now, when he slaughters the rest, when he continues to finish the act of Shechita, lav demare katavach, it's not the animal that belongs to its owner anymore that he's slaughtering. Because once it's prohibited to derive any benefit from this animal, because this animal now, from the first second, is asur as something that has been slaughtered for the purpose of Avodah Zarah, so it has no value. It has no ownership. So it's like he is slaughtering an animal that has no owner. So yes, of course, he'll have to pay for the stealing of the sheep, and he has to pay kefil, double, but the 4 or 5 payment, which is only when you are slaughtering that which belongs to someone else, it doesn't belong anymore to someone else after the first beginning of the act of the Shechita, because it becomes asur as Avodah Zarah, and therefore it's valueless. It has no owner, because it's asur behana'a. Amarava, Rava says, Be'omer bigmar zvichahu ovda. It's referring to a case where the person, before he slaughters it for the Avodah Zarah, he says, the worshipping of Avodah Zarah with this slaughtering should only be at the completion of the slaughter. Therefore, that's when the prohibition of Avodah Zarah takes effect. It only takes effect at the end of the Shechita, because he specified that the act of worship that should be done is only bigmar zvicha, at the completion of the slaughtering. So therefore, he is considered that he slaughtered something that belongs to someone else, and that's why he pays Dalet Vehe. The Gemara asks another question now regarding the case of Shor HaNiskal. Shor HaNiskal, regarding the one who slaughters the ox, the shor, that is stoned, Lavdi Dehu de Katavach, why does Rabbi Meir say that he's liable to pay for the slaughtering? Why? It's not the owner's ox anymore that he's slaughtering. Since once the ox is sentenced to be stoned, so now it's prohibited to derive any benefit from it. It's asur behana'a. Anything that is asur behana'a is valueless. Anything that is valueless, it doesn't have any owner. So why, if it's shor haniskal, why does he have to pay the owner dalet vehe? But it's not anymore belonging to the owner. He should pay for the gneva, for kefir, but dalet vehe, the 4 or 5 payment, why is he paying? He wasn't slaughtering anymore something that belongs to an owner. This is shor haniskal. Shor haniskal is asur behana'a to the owner. Amar Rabba, Rabba says, hacha b'mayaskinan, kegon shemesaro leshomer. Over here we're dealing with a case where the owner, he entrusted the ox to a guardian. He gave it in the hands of a guardian. Vehizik bevet shomer. And this ox injured another person while being in the house of the shomer, of the guardian. Venigmar dino bevet shomer. And it was sentenced, therefore this shol, this ox was sentenced to be stoned while in the house, while it was in the house of the shomer, of the guardian. Ugnavo ganav mi bet shomer. And it was from there that the ganav stole it. He stole it from the house of the shomer, and he slaughtered it. So what? V'Rabbi Meir savar la k'Rabbi Yaakov v'savar la k'Rabbi Shimon. And the understanding will be that according to, if Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Yaakov, and he holds like Rabbi Shimon. What does this mean? So the Gemara explains. Savar la k'Rabbi Yaakov de Amar. Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Yaakov, who said, Af mishenigmar dino hichziro shomer liv'alav muhzar. That even after the ox was sentenced to be stoned, if the shomer, if the guardian returned the ox to its owners, it's considered returned. Which means, despite the fact that now the ox is worthless, because you're not allowed to have any benefit from it because it was sentenced to be stoned. But once the shomer returned the ox that is physically intact to the owner doesn't have any claim against him, and therefore it's called muhzar. Okay, that's one piece of information. V'savala k'Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Meir holds also, like Rabbi Shimon, the amar davar agorem lemamon kemamon dami. Rabbi Shimon holds that the legal status of any object that can cause monetary loss is like that of money. The status of it is like that of money. What does that mean here? It means like this. Even in the case of this shoran iskal, which is an object that's worthless, right? But if eliminating it causes some kind of monetary loss because it has to be replaced, then it's considered that it has some kind of value. It has monetary value. So in this case, although the shor has no value in and of itself because it is a shoran iskal and it's asur behana'ah, but the one who stole it from the Beit HaShomer and slaughtered it, he's preventing the Shomer from being able to return it intact to the owner. That means that the Shomer is going to be required to pay the owner the value of the ox. So therefore, it comes out that the Ganav has to reimburse the Shomer, because the ox, this ox does have a value for the shomer, because or else now the shomer is going to have to replace it. So it's davar agorem lemamon. This shor aniskal, although it doesn't have any intrinsic value to the owner itself, but it is gorem lemamon. It causes mamon, it causes a payment for the shomer, because he has to replace it. So kemamon dami. So it has the status of mamon. That's why the one who steals it and slaughters it is considered a ganav v'tavach and has to pay dalit vehe. Because despite the fact that it's shoran iskal and has no value to the owner, but it's still, this shoran iskal is still a davar agorem lemamon. It's not something that is absolutely worthless. It does have a monetary value, if even only to the shomer, who otherwise would return it. And according to Rabbi Yaakov, if he returns it, it's considered returned. And now that he stole it and slaughtered it, the shomer is not going to be able to return it intact. He has to replace it. So therefore, it is gorem lemamon, mimela de shochet, the toveach, is toveach something that is worth money, and therefore he has to pay dalit vehe, according to Rabbi Meir. Now, till now, we were going according to the pirush of Rabbi Yochanan in the Braita that was brought to us on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Bet, that the case of ganav v'tavach v'shabbat is talking about tavach al yedei acher, that he slaughtered it by someone else. The one who stole it told someone else to slaughter it. That's why Rabbi Meir holds that you have to pay, that he has to pay dalet vehe, because there is no chilul shabbat involved here. If there was chilul shabbat involved by the one who stole it, so en adam metum shalem, you can have a death penalty and pay also. So why does Rabbi Meir say he has to pay? That's why Rabbi Yochanan, the pirush of Rabbi Yochanan was brought to us on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Bet to say that the scenario of the Braita is talking about toveach al yedei acher. So the ganav has to pay the dalet vehe because the ganav himself was not mechalel Shabbat. The tover, the tvicha, the shchita was done through someone else. So since there's no chilut Shabbat on the part of the ganav, only the stealing is on the part of the ganav, therefore Rabbi Meir holds that he has to pay. That's how we learned, according to Rabbi Yochanan, up until now. Now the Gemara is going to bring us a different pirush. Rabba Amar, Rabba says a different explanation of the Braita than Rabbi Yochanan. Le'olam betoveach al yedei atzmo. Really, the Braita is referring to a case where the ganav himself, the one who stole it, he slaughtered also the animal himself. He was ganav v'tavach b'shabbat. So now the question is, so why does Rabbi Meir say he has to pay? V'Rabbi Meir, loke umshalem itle, met umshalem letle. Meaning, normally, all throughout the Torah, Rabbi Meir holds that when you have loke umshalem itle, he holds of that, that when you have two liabilities, one is chiyuv malkut, and one is chiyuv tashlumim of payment, you do incur both of them. He gets malkut and he pays. Metum shalem letle. Normally, Rabbi Meir holds when the two liabilities are one is a death penalty and one is payment, then no, only the death penalty. He doesn't pay. You don't pay in addition to the death penalty. So the question is, why over here by Kanav v'Tavach, where you have b'Shabbat, where you have the two penalties, one is the death penalty of Chilul Shabbat, and one is the payment of Arba v'Chamisha. Why does Rabbi Meir say he has to pay? V'Shane Hani, this case over here, these cases of the payment of Arba v'Chamisha, of the four and five, is different. The Chidush hu shechitshat Torah biknas. This is a chidush that the Torah told us something new. It's a fine, it's a knas, it's a penalty. This is not a regular payment, a reimbursement of money. This is a knas that the Torah put on the person who stole and slaughtered, that he should pay either four or five, depending if it's a sheep or an ox. And if it's a knas, afal gav de mikti l'mishalem, even though he's getting killed for the Chilut Shabbat, he also has to pay the Knas as well. Now, Ve'azda Rabba Letame, and Rabba is going according to his reasoning of what he said elsewhere. What did he say? The Amar Rabba, Rabba said, Haya Gedi Ganuvlo. If a person had a stolen Gedi, a stolen goat in his possession that he stole already previously, Utvacho b'Shabbat, and he slaughtered it on Shabbat, chayav. He's chayav to pay the five times for that goat. He has to pay for slaughtering it. Chayav. Why? Shekvar nitchayev b'gneva kodem sheyavo lidei yisur Shabbat. Because the liability for stealing came before he was mechalel Shabbat. So therefore, although he slaughtered the goat on Shabbat, but he is liable for the payment because it is a knas. Which means like this. When a person steals an ox or a goat, in this case, and he slaughters it, right? So now, how much does he have to pay? He has to pay four or five. What part of the payment is knas? What part of the payment is just reimbursement? Well, the first part of the payment, right, the keren, let's say the goat was worth $100. So the payment of $100, that's not a knas, that's not a penalty. That's something that he has to pay to reimburse, to give back, to repay what he stole, right? But the additional payment of dalet vehe, that's knas, that's penalty, because that's not the worth of what he stole. That's in addition to the worth. That's called a knas. So now let's see this case. He stole already a gedi on Thursday. That's called haya gedi ganuvlo. On Thursday, he already stole it. And he had it until Shabbat. He kept it. On Shabbat, he slaughtered it. Oh, so now, if he slaughters it on Shabbat, although he is chayav mita for chilut Shabbat, but he has to also pay for the gneva and for the knas and the dalet vehe. Because when was he obligated to pay for the gneva, the keren itself, the principal itself? That was already on Thursday. That was not on Shabbat. Now, on Shabbat, he slaughtered it. So now on Shabbat, he only became chayav, he only became obligated in knas. Well, since Rabba told us that whatever is knas, there is metum shalem, he is liable to pay, even though he also is liable for a death penalty. So therefore, that's why he's chayav to pay the knas. In this case, shekvar nitchayev b'gneva, he already started becoming obligated in the gneva, kodem sheyavo lidei isur Shabbat. On Shabbat itself, it's only the knas that came along. Knas itself, Rabbi Meir holds, you do pay, even together with a death penalty. But whereas ganav v'tavach b'Shabbat, but let's say he didn't steal it on Thursday, he stole it on Shabbat and he slaughtered it on Shabbat. In that case, patur. In that case, he would be exempt from paying. Why? Sheim en gneva en tevicha en mechira. Because when did he become liable even for the gneva itself, even for the principle itself? He became liable only while he did the chilul Shabbat. Because he stole it on Shabbat and he was toveach on Shabbat. So mimela en adam metum shalem, a person who is chayav mita, he doesn't have to pay. So he doesn't have to pay for the gneva. Once he doesn't have to pay for the gneva, he doesn't pay for the tvicha or mechira either. Because if there's no Gneva, there's no Tvicha in Mechira. The Tvicha in Mechira is built upon the Gneva. So in the case where he stole on Thursday and he slaughtered on Shabbat, in this case he already became Chayav, he became obligated for the Gneva on Thursday. Whatever the leftover that he became chayav on Shabbat, which is the knas alone, just because he has the liability of the death penalty, it doesn't remove the monetary penalty of the knas. Whereas if he stole it on Shabbat also, and then he slaughtered it, well, he's patu for the gneva because en adam metum shalem, that part is not knas. And once he's not obligated to pay for the gneva, well, he's not obligated to pay for the knas of dalet vehe because im en gneva en tvicha u'mechira. That's the opinion of Rabba. And Rabba said this same halakha in a different context as well. Ve'amar Rabba, similarly, Rabba said, haya gedi ganuvlo. If you already previously stole a goat, utvacho b'machteret, and then he slaughtered it in the course of an act of burglary, of where b'machteret means that he went under the tunnel in order to steal it in a way of burglary. Now, a burglar, right, a baba machteret, someone who is stealing in such a way, is chayav mita. The Torah says, "Baba machteret en lo damim." If he's going to be killed by the owner who wants to protect himself and his possessions, then he's allowed to kill him. You look like you're coming to kill. He's allowed to kill you. So baba machteret is chayav mita, right? So here you have a case. He already stole the gedi beforehand on Thursday before he did the act of burglary. Then he slaughtered it while in the act of machteret, in the act of being a burglar, who's chayav mita. Well, chayav, in this case, he's going to have to pay, not only is he chayav mita, but he has to pay all the monetary liabilities here of dalet vehe, shekva nitchayev b'gneva kodem sheyavor lidei isur machteret, because the isur of gneva, the chiyuv, the obligation of paying the principal, already began before he became liable for his life, Ababa Machteret. He did it beforehand. Hayagedi Ganuvlo. So therefore, the liability of payment began already before he became liable to be put to death. Therefore, he's Chayav to pay both. Ganav v'tavach b'machteret. But if, let's say, he did both the stealing and the slaughtering, he did in an act of burglary, which means at the time when he's Chayav Mita, patu. Then he's patub because the gneva he doesn't have to pay because en adam metum shalem. When you're liable for death, you're not liable to pay the money. So shemen gneva en tvicha ven mechira. So you're also the part of the knas, which is the dalet vehe, that he also doesn't have to pay. Although normally knas itself, even with a death penalty, you're chayav, as Rabba says. But here being that even the gneva part, the principal payment, which is not knas, came at the same time of chiyuv mita, and en adam metum shalem, he's patur on the gneva, because when you have the liability of death, you don't have to pay for the liability of money. Mimela also, he doesn't have to pay for the tvicha mechira, because if there's no gneva, there's no tvicha mechira. In other words, Rabba said the same halakha regarding Chilul Shabbat, the death penalty of Chilul Shabbat, and the same scenario regarding a different case of Chiyuv Mita by Baba Machteret. So the Gemara asks, Utzricha, why do you need both cases? Why did Rabba have to say the same din? Right? The one where the Chiyuv Gneva came before the Chiyuv Mita, and then the case where the Chiyuv Mita came at the same time with the Chiyuv of Gneva. He said it both by the case of Shabbat and by the case of Baba Machteret. Why do you have to tell me by both? Tell me by one, and I'll know. The Gemara says, no, he needs to say it by both. Utzricha. Deya shmuinan Shabbat, because if Rabba would only state his halakha regarding Shabbat, mishum de isura, isur olam, I would have thought, because by Shabbat is severe. The punishment of the violation of Shabbat is something that is le'olam, is eternal. Because any time in the future that two witnesses will come and testify that he was Mechalel Shabbat, he will be sentenced to death. It's not only that minute. Isura, isur olam. And even if 5 years later, two edim come and testify that he was Mechalel Shabbat, he's chayav mita. So that's very severe. That's very chamus. I would have thought in that case, that's when we say, that the liability of death is so chamur, is so strict, that it exempts him from paying the money. Whereas aval machteret, but the death liability of Baba Machteret, the Isur Sha'ahu, it's only temporary, which means the homeowner who wants to protect himself is allowed to kill him only as long as the burglar is on his property. Afterwards, let's say a day or two later, the homeowner catches the burglar. He's not allowed to kill him then. He's only allowed to kill him while he's Bamachteret, while he's in the act of the burglary. So that's called a temporary death liability, death punishment. Isur Sha'ahu, Eimalo. I would have thought such a chiyuv mita is not so chamu, is not so severe to remove and to take away the monetary liability as well. So I would have thought in that case, he would have to pay regardless, even if they both came simultaneously as he was Baba Machteret. That's why Rabbi had to tell me, even by Baba Machteret, if the Gneva and the Tvicha were done at the same time as Baba Machteret, he is patur from the monetary payment of Gneva. Now, the Iyashmuinan Machteret, and if Rabba would only tell us this din by Baba Machteret, I would have said, Mishum de Machtarto, Zuhi Hatra'ato. I would have said, there is a certain Chumrah by Baba Machteret that's even over Shabbat, and that is Machtarto Hi Hatra'ato. The act of burglary itself is considered already the forewarning. As we know, you don't kill anyone, you don't sentence anyone to death unless there was hatra'ah, there was forewarning by edim. The exception to that is Baba Machteret. The homeowner is allowed to kill the burglar even without any forewarning. He's allowed to shoot him on the spot when he catches him. Without hatra'ah, ooh, that's a chumrah that Baba Machteret has over Shabbat. So I would have thought maybe only the liability of death of Baba Machteret, that's severe enough to remove the chiyuv mamon, and he will be patur from paying. Aval Shabbat debaya hatra'ah emalo. But the death penalty of Shabbat, which requires forewarning, if there's no hatra'ah, then he's not liable to be sentenced to death for chilut Shabbat if there was no forewarning. So maybe it's not as severe, and it would not remove the monetary payment that comes together with it. Tzricha. That's why I need Rabba to tell me, no, in both scenarios, both by Chilut Shabbat and by Baba Machteret, if the liability of payment came together with the liability of death, he is patur from the liability of money. Amar Rav Papa says, Haita para gnuvalo. Let's say a person stole a cow from before Shabbat on Thursday. Utvacha b'Shabbat. And he slaughtered it on Shabbat. Chayav. He's going to be chayav in the payments of Arba v'Chamisha. Why? Even though it's together with the death penalty of Chilut Shabbat for slaughtering. Shekvar nitchayev b'gneva kodem sheyavo lidei isur Shabbat. Just like Rabba said before, that the chiyuv of gneva, the liability for paying back the money that he stole, the cow that he stole, already began on Thursday. And before he came to Isur Shabbat, the only thing that he added on Shabbat was the slaughtering, which means the added payment of Dalet Vehe, which is a knas. A knas, as we learned before, a person, even if he has the death penalty together with it, is liable to pay the knas as well. Just like Rabba said before. Adds Rav Papa, Haita para she'ulalo. Let's say the para was borrowed before Shabbat. He didn't steal it. He lent it to him before Shabbat on Thursday. Utvacha b'Shabbat. Then the one who borrowed the cow, on Shabbat he decided he doesn't care. He's not giving back this cow. And he slaughtered the cow on Shabbat for the purpose of stealing it. Patur. In this case, he's patur from all payment. Why? Because the time of the payment, the liability of money, and the liability of death penalty of Chilut Shabbat came simultaneously, came together. Because before Shabbat, he just borrowed the cow. He was not obligated yet in anything. He didn't have mind to steal it. So the Chiyuv Gneva did not come before Shabbat. He only borrowed it before Shabbat. When did the Chiyuv Gneva to begin with start? The moment he decided to steal it. How? How did he decide to steal it? By slaughtering it on Shabbat. Well, that was simultaneous together with the Chilut Shabbat. Being that the Chiyuv Gneva came simultaneously with the Chiyuv Mita of Shabbat, Mimela is patur, en adam metum shalem. Now, basically, what he said was just like what Rabba said before. I mean, he didn't add any chidush, it seems like, right? Basically, he's saying that when the chiyuv came before Shabbat, and only the knas came on Shabbat, knas you pay even together with death penalty. But if the chiyuv came simultaneous, then you don't have to pay. That's what Rabba said before. So Amar li Ravacha b'rei de Rava li Ravashi, Rav Acha, the son of Rava, asked Ravashi on the din that Rav Papa just told us, Rav Papa, para ata l'ashmoinan? What exactly was Rav Papa Mechadesh over here? He gave us a different scenario of a cow instead of the case of Gedi, of the goat that Rabba spoke about. So he spoke about a cow instead of a goat. That's his chidush. What's the chidush? I mean, he's saying the same thing as Rabba. All he did was change it from Gedi to para. Amale, Ravashi told him, no. Rav Papa she'ula ata le'ashmoinan. Rav Papa is coming to teach us a chidush regarding the case of when he borrowed the para. The second part of Rav Papa, the haita para she'ula lo, that's the chidush that Rav Papa is telling us. What's the chidush? Sal kadat achamina, I would have thought to say, ho'il ve'amar Rav Papa, since elsewhere Rav Papa said regarding a person who rents a cow, mishe'at meshicha hu de'it chayav lebim zonoteha, that the obligation to give food to the animal is from the moment he pulls the para to him, to himself, when he rents it. It's from the starting point, from the beginning, he's obligated in all the monetary financial obligations of taking care of the para that he rented. So I would have thought, hachanami, regarding the borrower, the she'ela as well, misha'at she'ela itchayav be'unase. I would have thought that the obligations of the she'el, of the borrower, in paying for any kinds of onis, for any mishaps that happened to the cow that he borrowed, the obligation of payment begins from the moment that he borrows it. And therefore, we would have said, therefore, in this case, where he slaughtered the cow that he borrowed. So the payment for the slaughtering does not begin from the moment that he slaughtered. It begins retroactively from the moment when he pulled the cow to borrow it. Ah, so I would have thought in that case too, when did the chiyuv geneva begin? When did the obligation to pay for slaughtering the cow that he borrowed begin? It began on Thursday when he borrowed the cow, even though he slaughtered it on Shabbat, but the obligation for the slaughtering, the monetary obligation, began on Thursday. Oh, so then it's not simultaneous with the death penalty of Chilul Shabbat. And therefore I would think that he is patur from the payment, because the chiyuv of the monetary chiyuv began from Thursday. Kamashmalan, that's the chidush of Rav Papa, that as long as the para was alive, he was not obligated for that which he did when he slaughtered it. The chiyuv for the slaughtering it, the financial chiyuv, is only at the time that he slaughters it. Not from before, not misha'at meshicha. And therefore it was simultaneous with Chilul Shabbat, and that's why he is patu. That's the chidush that Rav Papa is teaching us by the case of the haita para she'ulalo. Amar Rava, Rava says a halacha. Hiniach lahen avihem para she'ula. If their father died, the yetomim, the father died, and he left them a borrowed cow. The father borrowed the cow, and then he died, and he left them as an inheritance this borrowed cow. Mishtamshim ba kol yeme she'elata. They are allowed to use the cow for the entire time, the entire period for which it was borrowed, because the right to use the cow is something that the father inherited to the children. However, meta en chayavim be'onsa. If, let's say, the cow died, the yetomim, the orphans, are not liable, they're not obligated to pay for the onis, for the unavoidable accident that caused it to die. Normally, a person who borrows a cow is chayav be'onasim. If something unavoidable happened and the animal was damaged or it died, the person who borrowed it has to pay. But here, in this case, the children do not have to pay, because the financial obligation to pay for onasim is not something that was inherited to them. The usage of the cow, yes, but not the obligation to pay for onis. Okay? Let's say kasvurim shel avihem hi. Let's say the orphans had a cow that they inherited from their father, and they didn't know that it was borrowed. They thought kasvurim. They thought that it actually belonged to their father, and therefore it belongs to them. Utvachuha va'achaluha. And they slaughtered it and they ate it. And then they find out that it was a borrowed cow. Mishalmim deme basar bezol. They only have to pay a reduced evaluated price of the meat. They don't have to pay the full price of the meat, only 2/3 of the actual value of the meat they have to pay. Then Rava ends off with the following statement. Hiniach lahem avihem achayut nechasim. If, however, if the father left them property as achayut nechasim, as a guarantee for the return of the borrowed item, which means, let's say there was a lien on the father's property, such as real estate, which means the father left over karkaot, he left over real estate to the children as well, and there was a lien on it as for the purpose of paying up for that which he borrowed, chayavim leshalem. Then they are obligated to pay. So now the question is, this last statement of iniach lahem avihem achayut nechasim, if he left over land for them, then they're obligated to pay. On which halacha is it going back on? On the first one that Rava said, or the second one? After all, there were two cases here that Rava said that they don't have to pay. The first case was if they inherited a borrowed cow, so if it died, they don't have to pay for it. That was the first case, right? Meta en chayavim beonsa. And then the second case, where they slaughtered an animal that they thought belonged to their father, but they found out it was borrowed, so they only have to pay dmei basar bezol. So now, it says at the end, if, however, he left them karkaot, then they do have to pay. Is it going back on the first case or the second case? So the Gemara says, ika de matnila resha, ve'ika de matnila asefa. Some learned the last statement on the first case, meaning regarding the case of when it died, meaning they had a borrowed cow that they inherited and it died, they're not chayav to pay. So on this, Rava said, if he left over karkaot, however, they do have to pay from the karka. And some learn it on the last case, on the case of where they slaughtered it thinking it belongs to the father, then they found out it was borrowed, they only have to pay dmei basar bezol. On this is what Rava said, but if he left over karkaot, they have to pay from the karka. So the Gemara says, "Man de matnila reisha, the one who learns it on the reisha, kol shekena seifa. Surely the halacha applies to the seifa, to the second case as well. Ufliga de Rav Papa, and it argues on what Rav Papa said before. Rav Papa just taught us before that the chiyuv of onasim of the shoel, the obligations of the payment for the onasim on the borrower, it's only at the time. It only starts at the time when the actual onas happened, not from the actual time when he borrowed it, right? So this statement of Rav over here is arguing with that which Rav Papa said. Because according to Rava, who is saying that the karkaot, the real estate that the father left over for the children, is already mishubad, is already leaned to pay for things that happened after the person, after he died, right? So you see that the obligations begin already from the moment that the borrowing took place, not when the onasim took place. And that's why Rava is saying that on both cases, if he left over karkaot, whether the case where, the first case, in the case of the seifa, that they that some onus happened with it. So at first we say they are patur, but if he left over karka, they have to pay. And surely in the case when they slaughtered it thinking it belongs to the father, without checking, maybe the father borrowed it, surely if he left karkaot, they have to pay. So you see, this argues with Rav Papa, because Rav Papa says that the obligations is only from the time of the onus. But here we see that they have to pay from those karkaot. That means that there was a lien, that the obligation to pay was already from the beginning, from the lifetime of the father, from the time that he borrowed it. Uman de matni la seifa, but the one who learns the din of Rava that if there are karkaot, they have to pay the full price. It's only on the last case, on the case where they slaughtered it without investigating first to see if it really belonged to the father or it was borrowed. Aval areisha lo. But in the first case, where just the onus happened to it, they don't have to pay. Even if karkaot were inherited, even if there were liens on real estate that were given over to the yatomim, they still don't have to pay. The haynu de Rav Papa. That's because Rava agrees with Rav Papa that what? That the financial obligation of the borrower is only begins from the time when the onus actually took place. And since over here the onus took place after the father died, that's why there is no chiyuv to pay from these karkaot. So this is the end of that sugya. Now the Gemara goes all the way back to the question that was asked regarding the contradiction between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Masechet Makot. We're going to go back to the machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, how to solve the stira, the apparent contradiction. Again, what was the contradiction? In our Mishnah, we learned that even Abba Lachoto, even one who rapes his sister, for example, where there is a chiyuv mita, where there is a chiyuv malakut, where there is a punishment of lashes, our Mishnah says there is knas, the knas of the chamishim shekel kesef of the me'anes is applicable, right? And yet we see that in the Mishnah in Makot, there's a chiyuv malkut. There's a chiyuv of punishment of lashes. And we know, en adam lokeum shalem, that normally the halacha is, you don't, when there's two liabilities, the liability of malkut and the liability of payment, then he only gets the liability of malkut. En adam lokeum shalem. So we have a stira. Our Mishnah says he's meshalem. He pays. The Mishnah in Makot says he gets malkut. Which one is it? That was the stira that the Gemara asked a few pages ago. Way back on the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Bet, going on to the top of Lamed Bet Amud Aleph. And we saw two answers, one Rabbi Yochanan and one Resh Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan answered that our Mishnah that obligates Knas is talking about a case where there is no Malkut because there was no Hatra'ah. There was no forewarning. Oh, so there's no Malkut, Mimela, he has to pay. Resh Lakish, he answered that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir who holds that Adam loke shalem, that a person does pay even when he's punishable by Malkut, he does get both penalties, the penalty of the punishment of Malkut and the penalty of paying money. And our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir. The Mishnah in Makot is going like Chachamim, where you only get Malkut and not payment. So now the Gemara goes back to address that and to say, Bishlama Rabbi Yochanan lo amar keresh lakish. I understand why Rabbi Yochanan refuses to answer like the answer of Resh Lakish, dekamukim la kerabanan, because Rabbi Yochanan, he prefers to establish our Mishnah not like the opinion of an individual of Rabbi Meir. He wants to explain that our Mishnah is like Rabbanan, who holds that en lokim shalem, that a person doesn't get malkut and pay at the same time. Therefore, he explained that our Mishnah that says that he pays is talking where there's no malkut. Where is that? When there's no atra'a, where there was no forewarning. That's why Rabbi Yochanan did not explain like Resh Lakish. Ela Resh Lakish maitama lo amar ke Rabbi Yochanan. Why did Resh Lakish refuse to answer like Rabbi Yochanan? Why did he prefer to answer in a secondary way, to say that our Mishnah is like Da'at Yachid, is like Rabbi Meir? Why couldn't you just say like Rabbi Yochanan that it's talking about where there was no Hatra'ah? Answers the Gemara, Amar Lach, Resh Lakish can tell you that to answer that our Mishnah is going like Chachamim, like Rabbanan, and say that it's talking about without Hatra'ah, and that's why you pay, that would not be an answer. You know why? Because Resh Lakish holds, Kevan de ilu atrube patur, kilo atrube nami patur. In a case where, let's say there was hatra'a for malkut, right? And therefore he would get malkut, right? He would be patur from paying, because en adam lokeum shalem. So then, even in the case where there was no hatra'a, even in the case where there was no forewarning, even though in actuality he doesn't get malkut, he's also nami patur, he's also patur from payment. Because since bottom line, he transgressed a lav where there is a potential for malkut, the potential for malkut alone already removes the liability for payment. So in other words, according to Resh Lakish, it wouldn't help to say that there was no hatra'ah. Therefore, since there's no hatra'ah and there's no malkut, so there he does pay. No, according to Chachamim, he would still not pay. Even though he's not getting malkut because there was no hatra'ah, but since he did something that if there was hatra'ah, he would get malkut. Even when there's no hatra'ah and he doesn't get malkut in actuality, he doesn't get payment either. So it wouldn't help. You have to say that our Mishnah that says that he does pay has to be like Rabbi Meir, who holds that there is payment together with the Chiyuv Malkut. Ve'azdu le'ta'amayu. Rabbi Yochanan and Resh Lakish, in this machloket, they're going according to their reasoning elsewhere. The Chi'ata Rav Dimi, because when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he reported the following. Amar, chayave mitot shogegim, v'chayave malkuyot shogegim. Ve'davar acher, let's say you have a scenario of chayave mitot shogegim ve'davar acher. What does that mean? Let's say you have someone who did something that is liable to be punished, chiyuv mita, death penalty. But there was no hatra'ah, he wasn't forewarned before he did it. So in actuality, he's not going to get mita. Ve'davar acher, and at the same time, simultaneously, there was also a chiyuv mamon. There was an obligation of a liability of payment at the same time. Or let's say chayave malkuyot shogegin v'davar acher. Let's say he did something where he's obligated to get malkut. It's just that he's not going to get it because there was no hatra'ah. Right? And davar acher, and a monetary payment at the same time. Rabbi Yochanan amar chayav. V'Resh Lakish amar patur. Rabbi Yochanan says he's chayav in the payment because since in actuality he's not getting the malkut or he's not getting the chiyuv mita because it was done b'shogeg, so he's chayav. Resh Lakish amar patur. Resh Lakish says he's patur from the payment. And the reasoning is like this. Rabbi Yochanan amar chayav. Rabbi Yochanan who says that he's chayav to pay dehalu atrube, because bottom line there was no hatra'ah. And therefore, since there is no atra'ah, there is no punishment of malkut or mita. So therefore, he pays the money. Resh Lakish amar patur. Resh Lakish holds, no, he's patur from the money also. You know why? Kevan de ilu atrube, if he would have been forewarned before he did the avera, he would have been patur from the payment, because en adam loke shalem, or en adam metum shalem, ki lo atrube nami patur. So then even when there was no forewarning, although in actuality he's not getting the punishment of the death or the punishment of the malkut, he also is patur, he is still patur from the payment. In other words, if we want to say in one nutshell, what is the machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Resh Lakish? Rabbi Yochanan holds, when we say a person does not get two liabilities at once, such as en adam metum shalem, it has to be in actuality. Which means you can't actually get mita and have to pay also. Or you can't actually get malkut and have to pay also. But if in actuality you're not getting the mita or you're not getting the malkut because there was no hatra'ah, then you do get the payment punishment. Then you do have to pay. Resh Lakish says, no, it doesn't matter in actuality. In potential, which means if a person transgressed something that potentially is chayav mita or potentially is chayav malkut, together with something of financial liability as well, even though in actuality he's not going to get the death penalty or he's not going to get the malkut penalty because there was no atra'ah, but since potentially it was there, then the payment liability as well is removed. That's the machloket between Resh Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. And now we're going to have the back and forth between them, proofs to either one of the sides. Eti v'Resh Lakish l'Rabbi Yochanan. Resh Lakish asks on Rabbi Yochanan regarding the pasuk of two people who were fighting, and let's say Reuven and Shimon were fighting, and Reuven intended to hit Shimon, but mistakenly he hit a pregnant woman and she miscarried. So what does it say there in the pasuk? Ve'lo ye'ason, if there is no tragic harm, if there was no killing, meaning there's no mitah, there was no death, anosh ye'anesh. The one who hit has to pay for the miscarriage. My love, Ason Mamash, says Resh Lakish, isn't the Pasuk talking even in Ason, in real Ason, Mamash Kipshuto, which means death? which means that the pasuk is saying Ve'lo yason, if there was no death, if the woman didn't die, then anosh yanesh, then he has to pay. Mashma, if the woman would die by this blow that he gave, then what? He would not have to pay the money, right? Oh, even though there was no hatra'ah over here before he killed the woman, there was no forewarning. This was something that happened by accident. And yet, if she would have died, he would have been patur from payment. So you see, even though in actuality, since it was done by shogeg, he's not going to be punished by death, yet he is still patur from the money. Because in potential, what did he do? He did something that could carry a death penalty with it. That in itself is poter, exempts him from the money. That's Rish Lakish's question on Rabbi Yochanan. Answers Rabbi Yochanan, lo, that's not how you explain the pasuk. When it says im lo ye ason, it means din ason. If there's no din of ason, meaning if there's no sentence of death, of harm, which means if the bedin does not actually sentence him to death, that's when he pays for the damages of the miscarriage. He's exempt from the payment only if he's actually executed. But if he's not actually executed, then what? Then he would have to pay. So that's according, that goes with Rabbi Yochanan. That's how Rabbi Yochanan answers. Ika de Amri, some say it was the other way around. Etve Rabbi Yochanan Resh Lakish, that Rabbi Yochanan was the one who asked Resh Lakish, Velo yason anosh yanesh, my love, din ason? Doesn't it mean in actuality, din ason? Answers Resh Lakish, lo, ason mamash. And therefore, there's no question on either Rabbi Yochanan or Resh Lakish from this pasuk.